You know, I freely admit after games like this, I often go back and forth on how much to celebrate and conversely how critical to be of certain aspects of a game. But, you know, I think today, like Ben Wagner mentioned, a good way to lift the plane off the tarmac as the Blue Jays head west. So maybe we largely slant on the positive today because they did just win a ball game. Now 54-43 on the season, 11 games above 500. Still, of course, well in the middle of that wild card race amidst, as we know, the strongest division in baseball. We'll get to some of the things that perhaps raise the eyebrows when it comes to a level of concern regarding the offense and runners in scoring position and all that stuff. But I think we can tack towards the positive side of things after a 4-0 shutout win over the San Diego Padres. Welcome to Jays Talk across the Sportsnet Radio Network, streaming live on Sportsnet.ca and on the Sportsnet app. Show Ali with you, taking your calls and texts. The phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cellular device. 590-590 is where you can text us. That is the People's Text Line, and as I like to always say, it is always open. Some programming notes. At the top of the hour, you will be joined by Blair and Barker. They are standing by on TV and radio back at our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, across the Sportsnet Radio Network, and, of course, on TV as well for Sportsnet. The guys will have, I guess it'll be Blair and Barker, but they will continue talking about this series and, I'm sure, set things up for the West Coast swing against the Mariners and Dodgers. So you'll hear B&B at the top of the hour. When you give me a call, though, or give me a text, we can certainly chat about anything you want. But after going 4-2 in the first two series after the All-Star break, I think if you had said 4-2 against the Diamondbacks and Padres, most would have said, yeah, I'll take that. Perhaps coming in a different way than you would have expected. But I am curious what you all think. Like, what is an acceptable win-loss record for this mini West Coast road trip coming up? Three games in Seattle against the Mariners, a team that is a game below 500 coming into play today, and then three games against perhaps the second-best team in the National League, Jays taking on the Dodgers for three starting Monday. So what's an acceptable record? Is it another 4-2? Is that what you expect? Is it 3-3? Whatever it may be, I want to know. So let me know in the phone lines. Again, 416-870-0591, 888-666-0590. Star 590 on your cellular device, or you can send in your text at the People's Text Line, 590-590. Name and location, please. Why don't we start by talking about Chris Bassitt? Six innings pitched, four hits, zero runs, one walk, five strikeouts, and 92 pitches for Bassitt today. He'll be a 10,000 grand lighter in the pocket after his charitable donation drive. You heard Jessica Bassitt, his wife, on the radio call yesterday with Ben and Ben. Always good to hear from different members of the Blue Jays organization, certainly. But a great initiative for Bassitt, so good that that's something that exists for Jays Care. Well, you know what? We'll see what Bassitt says post-game today. But I was under the impression that he was done calling his own games via the PitchCom device. Like, you go back maybe a couple of starts, and he says post-game, very simply, he's done. I'm done calling pitches. And today it certainly seemed like maybe he was inputting some things into the PitchCom device at times. I wonder if he'll be asked about it, but it almost felt like he and Kirk were both going back and forth. We'll see if he has anything to say on that front when he talks to the media. But overall, like, great start for the Hound Dog. He was really oscillating between the high velo pitches, which he was able to reach when he needed to, the low velo, the breaking and off-speed stuff, just dropping in pitches on the Padres batters for most of his six innings. And, you know, we've seen him do this before, but it was very apparent today in particular. He really slows down the game when he wants to. Like, he very deliberately gets back to the mound, waits out the pitch clock until the last couple seconds, tick off the clock, just slowing everything down, including the individual ABs, just to get a few more seconds, it seems, just to think out there on the hill. And it worked for him for the entirety of his outing today. He had 67 pitches through five innings of work. It gets pushed to 92 pitches through six innings. He gets through the dicey situation in that sixth inning with Meza warming. Meza comes in with a pocket of three lefty batters coming up. I definitely, and I know a lot of people have their opinions on how long guys should pitch these days, and I think modern pitchers often get yanked, perhaps too early. It certainly feels as though most major league managers err on the side of yank a guy too early rather than yank him too late, which I'm sure is preferable. But I definitely lean more on the side of just let guys pitch longer. But in that particular game situation, I also understand why they gave him the yank after six frames, even if the Padres did then pinch it against Meza a couple times to mitigate their lefty-on-lefty matchup. But Chris Bassitt has been phenomenal. I remember we got a text probably maybe about a couple of Bassitt starts ago when Ben Shulman and I were doing the postgame show. And I remember someone texted in to say Bassitt is a 3-4 starter in the rotation in terms of his place in the rotation, perhaps masquerading as a 1-2 starter because of the way the Blue Jays Blue Jays rotation has gone out there so far this year. Because of, you know, after Gausman and certainly after Berríos, you could probably have made the argument based on how Bassitt looked after the first four starts of the season. You could probably make the argument that he was pitching better than Berríos, who obviously is pitching very, very, very well so far this year, right? But it is kind of interesting, that text, to think back on it because, again, yes, Bassitt has some ups and downs, but against a lineup that started with, let's see, five lefty batters in there, I mean, he acquitted himself very, very well. He used the sweeper, the sinker, to great effect today, as he usually does. He showed off the whole arsenal, so another great start from Chris Bassitt. Six innings pitched, four hits, no runs, one walk, five strikeouts on 92 pitches of work. Why don't we go to the phone lines? 416-870-0590, star 590 on your cell, 1-888-666-0590. Those are the phone lines, 590, 590, name and location. I'll go over to the text line in a sec, but let's kick things off with your phone calls. Eddie joining us in Fort Erie. Eddie, what's up? What's on your mind today, man?
Well, show two things I have on my mind. First of all, I just heard you talking about the record for the next road trip for the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
For me, yeah. For me, I'd be okay for – I mean, I'll take a 3-3 record anytime because sometimes when they go to Seattle, they try a little too hard with all those fans there, and sometimes that kind of gets the best of them. But since we have Gausman back, I like our chances to win 2 out of 3 in that one. And then going to Los Angeles, I mean, that's the first time they've been there since 2019. And if you recall, this when they were a young team, they took the Dodgers to the limit. And that was when Bobichet and Vladdy did their thing in that series. So who knows what will happen in that one. Now, the second thing I want to talk about was Blake Snell today. Now, I know he's a free agent, and I know he didn't have a great game today, but I wouldn't mind seeing the Blue Jays call the Padres to see if he is available because there's no better feeling in the world than to bring somebody in and hit the Rays where it hurts the most. Because he did it already to them already this season when he went six innings and struck out 12 of his former teammates. So by chance if the Blue Jays are still in this division race, and if they were to get Snell, man, that would be sweet to beat the Rays in that regard, you know?
Absolutely. Hey, Eddie, I appreciate the call, man. Thank you for joining us here on Jays Talk. Yeah. I do think, generally speaking, that Blake Snell is not going to be a Padre at the deadline. I truly believe that. The Padres, let's see, coming into today, they were 46-50. So 46-51 after the loss today. And I remember I was speaking with Kyle Glazer from Baseball America, the pregame show today, and he's on the West Coast. He covers a lot of the West Coast teams, including the Padres, Mariners, Dodgers, etc. And it was interesting to hear him discuss the Padres because they're a team that will look unbeatable at times and then fail to put things together. Case in point, they take 2 out of 3 from the Mets and then they encounter other massive issues, whether it's the pitching getting hit, it's the position players not coming through, the bullpen gets blown up, whatever you may have to look at for those unfortunate results for the San Diego Padres. But I really do think when it comes to Blake Snell, while he will likely not be a San Diego Padre at the deadline, I also find it very unlikely to see Blake Snell as a Blue Jay. Don't get me wrong. Would I, like Eddie, love to see Blake Snell as a Blue Jay? Yes. Absolutely yes. He would instantly be, what, tied for the second best pitcher in this entire rotation, right? I think coming into today, in his last, what, seven, eight starts, he had an ERA of less than one. I mean, this is a guy who struggled at the very beginning of the season, pretty much for the first month or 5 weeks of the season, and after that has managed to lower his ERA to the point where it was in the high twos, for example. That's, I mean, considering how much he got hit around in the first bit of the season, that's quite remarkable. Having said that, Eddie, I do find it incredibly unlikely to see a massive, massive trade like that. It kind of feels like the trade deadline for the Blue Jays might be a more tinkering, let's say. Let's continue with your phone calls. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cellular device. Jay is driving. Okay, so Jay, I see here you're driving from Toronto, but you're driving to Seattle. Is that right? Like, you're driving cross-country? Is that right?
Exactly. We left the game Saturday after we saw the Jays beat the D-backs. I have a light week. So I just got in the truck, and I started heading west. It'll take me 6 days, and I'm going to be there tomorrow for the first game.
So where are you right now?
I'm in Spokane at a gym working out because I've been sitting on my butt driving like 8 hours every day. I needed a workout, and it feels good. So it's a little noisy. But anyway, I'm going to answer a couple of your questions.
First, sure, go ahead.
If someone were to ask you a week ago for 4 out of 6 against the D-backs and the Padres, you would have taken it. The D-backs are a good team, and I think the Padres are even better, and they're just waiting to explode. So it wasn't exactly the way they wrote it up, but in the end, 4 out of 6 is 4 out of 6, which is always a good thing. Today was frustrating in the second inning. I was just listening to it on the radio, obviously, because I've been driving, and, you know, having Merrifield thrown out at third and then having Vladimir Guerrero picked off at first, you're like, oh, my goodness. And, you know, they're giving the Jays all these base runners. Snell is walking everybody, men on base with nobody out, can't score. But in the end, they pulled it off. But I'll tell you what, the brand of baseball they're playing, even though they won today, it's not the brand of baseball they need to be playing to secure that wild card spot. My last point is this. I don't want the first or second wild card spot because I don't want to play Tampa or Baltimore. I want the third wild card, because I'd rather play the winner of the AL Central. And I think Major League Baseball has to do something about that going forward, because you have to be rewarded for being the better team. So maybe they seed the four teams that aren't the two best division winners, and one plays four and two plays three. Because who would you rather play? Obviously, Minnesota, let's assume they win, is an easier series than Tampa Bay or Baltimore.
Hey, Jay, appreciate the call. Thanks for joining us. I like the... I'll always be here for potential changes to the playoff format. Having said that, I don't disagree with you that there probably could be some kind of change to seeding or something like that, because it's a conversation we have, frankly, in a lot of different sports. I mean, look at the NHL, for example, right, when it comes to the playoff matchups. But when it comes to the Major League Baseball, I do see what you're saying. I have a feeling they'd be hard-pressed to change it. Like, if only because if the conversation were reversed and, like, any one of the American League East teams were in the American League Central, I don't think anyone would be saying, oh, reseed the divisions or reseed the guys who do not get the top two buys and change things around. It's probably not going to happen. But I do take your point, because I do agree with you that right now the most attractive wild card matchup would, in theory, be the third wild card, because you get to take on whoever wins the American League Central, probably the Twins. But, you know, if it ends up being the Tigers, or if it ends up being the Cleveland Guardians or something, then I don't know anyone would be that surprised. And I also don't think that any one of the other wild card teams would be that, I don't want to say afraid, because as we know, anything can happen in a baseball game. And I mean, you need not look much further than last year's wild card matchup for the Blue Jays than the Mariners, in which Luis Castillo pitched perhaps his best game ever for a really good pitcher. I mean, look, things can happen. So I never want to be like, yes, give us the Twins, because sometimes you do get exactly what you asked for. I do want to get to Jay's point on some of the play towards the beginning of the game. And it was a tough way for the Jays to start this one, right? Like, we might as well get that out of the way. Snell, he just already issues a ton of walks to begin with. So he walks both Springer and Vladdy in the first three batters. Bo hits into a double play. Vladdy caught way off the bag, inning over. And then, of course, later on, Merrifield caught on the throw down to third after successfully having, you know, quote-unquote successfully having stolen the base, but having to go back to second because of a swing decision there. I don't know, but with Vladdy being caught way off the bag, like, being caught stealing is, I think, different than running into egregious outs on the base pass. Like, yes, stealing is, in a sense, a part of that, but just being caught napping when you're off the bag is just, I mean, it's not acceptable, right? It's not just Vladdy, too, but without having the numbers in front of me, as a team, the Jays must have run into, like, 35 to 40 outs so far on the bases this year. That just can't happen, right? It doesn't even really matter who you're playing. Blake Snell or whoever else is on the mound could be the best team, the worst team. If it's happening here and there, sure, whatever, but when it's happening as consistently as it does, and the offense itself is already sputtering to a certain degree, it's a problem, right? Why they are constantly running into outs on the bases, I'm not sure what the answer to that question is. I'm not sure how much of it, if it falls on the front office or perhaps the coaching staff not preparing the players adequately, how much it just simply falls on players having to just decide they need to be more attentive and alert. I'm not sure. It does somewhat alarm me because no team can do that and get away with it for too long. Again, it did not end up hurting the Blue Jays too much today because they did win, so we're not going to spend too much time on it. But when you do have one run in two games coming into the series finale, you just can't do it as often as these guys have. So I do think Jay's point is well taken. Let's go to the text line real quick. 416, or pardon me, 590-590, name and location. You still want to give me a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-660-590, star 590 on your cell. I did say I wanted to know from you guys what an acceptable record, win-loss record, on the road trip would be, going through T-Mobile Park, going to Chavez Ravine, taking on the Mariners, taking on the Dodgers, six games, day off next Thursday, they come back home to take on the Angels starting on Friday, and maybe Shohei Ohtani pitches that game. That'd be kind of exciting, but I want to read you some of these texts. Let's see. Vincent Aurora, an acceptable record would be 4-2. 3-3, not bad. Anything less than 3-3, a complete joke. Chris from Milton, I'd be happy as long as they can stay 3-3 over the next six. It's a long trip for the boys, lots of travel. Hopefully the Seattle Jays fans can keep them up. I agree. Zach in Fredericton, I'll take 3-3, but really want 4-2. Anything but Seattle sweeping the Jays like last year. I'll say this. I actually did a couple of the Jays talks following that four-game series in Seattle last year, after which Charlie Montoyo got let go. But, boy, I remember, and I know you guys remember too, remember there was the play where the ball goes to the webbing of Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s glove. They're the Robbie Ray start. They're leading like 2-1 going in the end of that game, and they lose in the end. Just a lot of not just losses, but heartbreaking losses. So I do think in a three-game series, I mean, I don't know if I'm expecting a sweep because it's really hard to sweep teams, and it's also hard to sweep teams more so on the road. So I don't think I'm not going to say, like Mike in Saskatoon, a sweep in Seattle, absolutely mandatory, not just for the fans that make the trip. Most importantly, I want the Mariners selling. Come back home, Teo. Seriously, we need that dude bad. Again, I'm not sure I'll go so far as to say a sweep, but maybe I think I'd take 3-3 personally, 4-2, maybe not best case scenario, because obviously best case scenario is two straight sweeps, but on the road against in a hostile environment in certainly Los Angeles and what you hope will be a relatively friendly environment at T-Mobile, perhaps a 4-2 can be hoped for at the very least. I see Jared in Calgary as even more optimistic. He says, I think the team needs to go 5-1 on the upcoming trip and pray the Rays and Orioles series goes 2-2. Need to start making up ground while the Rays are stumbling. It's a good point that Jared brings up. In this, I'm not sure who you root for this Rays-Orioles series that starts tonight. I think Tyler Glasnow is going for the Rays and Gibson. Kyle Gibson is going for the O's. And, of course, the O's are in sole possession of first place in the American League East right now. Blue Jays in solidly in third place. The Yankees, shockingly, in the bottom of the division. We'll get more into that with the standings update on the other side of the break, but I do wonder who you guys would cheer for in the Rays-Orioles series. I mean, I know, in theory, you hope they could both lose somehow, but because one team has to win, I do honestly wonder. Let's go back to the phones. 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590 on your cellular device. Charlie joining us from Jersey. Charlie, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, show? Shohei and Show, the two stars of baseball. Anyway, now that I've
I know, Shohei stole the whole it's Showtime thing. I'm never getting it back.
I know. Listen, what are you going to do? You know what? I'll tell you what. If he comes to the Jays, you guys can put it together, right?
That's true.
I think that's more dreaming than anything. Yeah, I'm in a better mood today than yesterday. I do call in often, but I do want to make a couple of points. First of all, how good is it to just have a – I know Jordan Luplo isn't our savior. I know he's, you know, at best a serviceable bench player. But, you know, I think – and I'm curious what you think about this point. I feel one thing that I don't like about Schneider is that he seems to be – and I know it's not only his decision, but he seems to be very stuck with a very particular lineup. You know, maybe a little thing here and there. You know, when teams are scuffling offensively, you know, I found following baseball for the last 40 years, you switch things around. You know, it doesn't have to be because it has to make sense analytically. Sometimes you just need fresh, you know, you just need something fresh. You got to switch it around. It's like that in everything in life. And, you know, it wasn't surprising to me that of all people, he, you know, finally, you know, he knocks in the first run. And, you know, look, I know people are going to roll their eyes. I was going to start off my call saying, hey, no belt, no VAR show, and we get a win. What do you know? But, you know, it's not just about bashing those who are really struggling. It's also about switching things around. And I'm wondering, is there anyone else, you know, if they don't hit the trade market and they don't be overly aggressive, you know, who else can they bring up to maybe just sell some of the regulars and just give some fresh at-bats and fresh, you know, things to. I mean, Lucas was on the bench forever, and he barely played. I didn't get that at all.
Hey, yeah, you Charlie, I mean? Appreciate the call. Yeah, thank you for calling in, man. I do think, as for your ideas to calling up guys, we'll talk about Jordan Luplo in 2 seconds here, but I have been a big fan of Davis Schneider. I do genuinely wonder what Davis Schneider would look like, especially if there is a world in which Whit Merrifield, for example, next year, it's a mutual option. So, of course, both teams have to agree. Let's say Merrifield declines the option, just decides he wants to go to free agency and tests the market because he's 35, or he's 34, will be 35, I think. But he's in that age range where he's probably going to get his last payday, I would think. So if that's the case, I wonder if the Jays do look down to the minors and see what they have that could contribute in some way, shape, or form. And, I mean, I said this a million times. Blair said this a million times. You have to get some kind of contributions at some point from the other guys on the roster when it comes to maybe guys that aren't – even guys not on the 40-man, like a Davis Schneider, for example. But he's been having a very good season in the minors. And I do kind of wonder at what point he is no longer – developing in the minors and maybe would be best served coming up here. Then again, it's not as though you are displacing Merrifield, but maybe on one of those days where Merrifield is playing out in left field, maybe instead of going to Espinal, maybe instead of going to Biggio, you can go to a Davis Schneider, perhaps. I wouldn't mind seeing them give it a try because he's had such a good year so far in the minors. I definitely heartily recommend, if you're not super familiar with him, go check out some of his highlights because he's been playing very, very well this year. On the Jordan Luplo thing, So, as Charlie mentioned, Luplo powers in the game's first run. Great work by him to work the AB, a 3-0 count. He takes on what ends up as 3-1, which is a borderline pitch. So, you know, good use of where he was in the count there. You knew it wasn't as though Jordan Luplo was going to get the green light. But still, he takes. Great take. He smokes the next pitch to score the game's first run. He works another great AB the next time he comes to the plate. He works a walk, one of the seven walks, Snell issues. And I would say that's more or less a large reason why he was called up. The Snell matchup, probably an attractive one for the Blue Jays and certainly for Luplo specifically. And then another sharply hit ball right up the middle for his third hit of the game. I'm not sure, and Ben Nicholson-Smith mentioned this during the broadcast, I'm not sure that with Luplo basically operating as the 26th man on the roster right now that he is long for the majors, but he did his job, right? Like, those are the ABs you want to actually see, I would say, from everyone. And I'm not saying this to denigrate Luplo. I know this kind of sounds like a backhanded compliment. I don't mean for it to be. But he would, because he was very, very good. But if he can work consistently a competitive AB, then why aren't the best hitters on the team doing it, right? Like, case in point, in that same half inning, Springer comes to the plate, two batters later, the bases are loaded, two outs, and he swings the first pitch for a pop-up. Even if the outcome of that pitch is still an out and no runs, just take a pitch or two. I think that's an unreasonable thing to want, right? Like, no matter how prolific a hitter that player might be, just extend Snell's outing a little bit more. The guy walked five batters up until that point in the game, and of course he ends up walking seven overall. Just make him work a little bit more instead of swinging at the first pitch. Chances are, based on what we had seen up until that point, that he would misplace a few more pitches in that same AB. Chances are that Springer, being the kind of hitter he is, would be able to take advantage of it. But still, ultimately, don't mean for it to be like a referendum on all the other guys, because like Charlie was saying, Jordan Luplo gave the team some new looks at the dish. He played very, very well today and definitely was, I would say, a critical part of a 4-0 win for the Blue Jays over the Padres. Let's take a very quick break. When we come back, we'll go back to the text line, 590-590, name and location. We will continue to examine what you guys expect from the Blue Jays over a 6-game road trip in Seattle and in Los Angeles. We'll go back to the phones as well, and we'll also check out the Major League Standings Watch presented by Bet365. All that straight ahead. You're listening to Jays Talk. I'm Sho on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Yeah, I see signs of that. I think, you know, today the walks were encouraging too, you know, and understanding, especially a guy like Snell, he's probably going to give you one pitch in the zone and then try to get you to chase. So the walks were encouraging. When Vladdy swings at pitches he can do damage on, that's kind of what he does. So today I think hopefully can kind of keep him moving in that same direction. Really impressive at bat there going opposite field against a guy with a pretty good sinker with good velo. So it comes down to pitch selection for Vlad because he hits the ball so hard.
That is Blue Jays manager John Schneider, won his 100th game as manager of the Blue Jays, talking about Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who had two walks and a home run. Good stuff from Vladimir Guerrero Jr. I dare say another play that might not show up in the same degree as the home run and certainly the walks in the box score will be the over-the-shoulder catch with Meza on the mound, and then turns around, fires the ball to Meza for a double play. I'd seen someone ask me on Twitter, how do you score that? I turned around because Ben Nicholson-Smith, sitting right next to me, scores all the games. He and Ben Wagner, actually. The guys score every single game. So I asked him, and Ben said he wrote it down as a P331 is what he wrote down in his scorebook. I don't know what Tom wrote down in his scorebook, but that is what BNS went with after the terrific play from Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Welcome back to Jays Talk. Sho Alley with you across the Sportsnet Radio Network. We got a couple more minutes here. Let's check out the Major League Standings Watch presented by Bet365. With Bet365, you can bet on things like player props, totals, or game outcomes across many different sports. 19-plus, play responsibly. Ontario only. So no Red Sox today, no Yankees today. Both of them losing yesterday. The Yankees getting swept by the Angels. I believe the final score was 7-3. And the Oakland Athletics beating the Boston Red Sox on the West Coast. It was I think they went up 6-1 and they held on for a 6-5 win. But either way, those two teams are off. The Yankees are going to start the game series against the Royals tomorrow, and the Boston Red Sox will welcome in the New York Mets to town as well. The Tampa Bay Rays are beginning their series against the Baltimore Orioles tonight a little bit later on. I see a text here. Let me see if I can find it. It was about who you cheer for. Oh, yeah, here you go. Corey in the Beaches. I know who I'm cheering for in that Rays-Orioles series. Tons of offense and exhausted bullpens. You know what? I feel you, Corey. I think that's a good place to start. Coming into play today, the Baltimore Orioles are 58-37. The Rays are 60-39. But because of the winning percentage, Baltimore is a mere couple of percentage points ahead of the Rays. So 58-37 for the O's, 60-39 for the Rays, 54-43 for the Blue Jays, 51-46 for the Red Sox, and 50-47 for the New York Yankees. That's a quick check of our Major League Standings Watch presented by Bet365. I wanted to get to a couple things before we say goodbye in a couple minutes here. Make way for Blair and Barker. We'll continue your Jays post-game coverage. Some signs of life, perhaps, for the bat and Alejandro Kirk. He a hard hit, ringing single from Kirk right before Luplo opens the scoring, splitting the guys in left and center. I'm not sure I will put too much on the infield single his second time up, but still a good job by Kirk to get the first on the play. His third time up, works the walk against Steven Wilson, and then to end it all, just crushes a no-doubt home run off of Tom Cosgrove in the eighth inning. Like, even if the power isn't quite all the way there back consistently, and I know it'll take a lot more than one game of results for anyone to declare Kirk even close to back, but if the power isn't back, entirely there, but it is good to see some signs of life with a home run, certainly. It is good to see him take some better approaches in this game, especially on the walk. It's a good start, at least, for someone who is arguably a top five, maybe even a top three catcher in 2022. Odd, actually, for both Kirk and Manoah, both of whom were so, so good last year that we are where we are with both of them, but I guess that's 2023 so far for you. I wanted to get to the pitching rotation for the Mariners series as well. Kikuchi on Friday, Gausman on Saturday, Manoah on Sunday. The Blue Jays manager, John Schneider, is saying that to the Blue Jays beats earlier today. Somewhat as we thought, right? Kikuchi allowed to take his regular turn through the rotation tomorrow. Gausman returns on Saturday. It'll have been a full 2 weeks since Gausman last pitched, which was the 8th of July. Probably for the best that side discomfort is treated carefully, because you don't want that to evolve into something more. But the Jays were lucky that there was a day off in between Kikuchi and Manoah the last turn through the rotation, so the bullpen can be deployed as liberally as possible. And of course, this time Gausman splits those two starts, and that's how it should be. Like, one of Bassett, Gausman, Berríos should basically always be between those two based on what we have seen so far this season. And right now it looks like it'll be Gausman. It does somewhat beg the question about what will happen with Ryu. The next two off days are Thursday, July 27th, between the Dodgers and Angels series. And the next day off isn't until Monday, August 14th. So if that is the case, maybe a few things for Ryu. You could get Ryu in there, give everyone an extra day of rest if it doesn't disrupt their routines too much, and run with that six-man rotation, which is something I personally favor. But, you know, I think you want to see what you have in Ryu and Manoah before the deadline comes, and then you learn you actually do need another starter. So I am in favor of seeing Ryu in there as soon as you can muster it. But I suspect many of you feel the same way on this. It probably does hinge on what Alec Manoah looks like in his next start, right? Like, Manoah, like we said, will go on Sunday against the Mariners. And if he goes out there in Seattle and gets lit up, or struggles with his command, he's nibbling a lot, the velo remains down, whatever, right? Whatever it may be. If it's another subpar start, then I do think it means we're having a different conversation about Manoah in the sense of him maybe missing a start. I don't really think he gets sent back down because, you know, ping-ponging a guy back and forth between the majors and minors, especially someone you feel like is going to be a long-term part of your team, is can't be good for anyone. But maybe a missed start if that happens, maybe a piggyback start from Manoah and Ryu going forward. But I am looking forward to seeing that. And one last thing. Jordan Romano looked pretty normal today. That's always good to see. That was the main point of order to look out for. Velo didn't look too off. Four-seamer hovered 96, 97 miles an hour. Sliders sitting 86 to 88. So pretty normal, all things considered. Low event stuff from Romano, which is exactly what you want to see. But hey, appreciate you guys all being alongside me today for a quick edition of J-Stock Classic. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Crown Rust Protection. Now that summer has arrived, it's road trip season. Make sure your vehicle is protected from rust with Crown. Visit crown.com for a special summer offer today. Crown, Canada's number one rust protection. For Ben Wagner, Ben Nicholson-Smith, Tom Young, Luke Swadron, Nick Blackmore, I'm Sho Ali. Thanks for being with us. Blue Jays avoid the sweep with a 4-0 shutout win over the Padres. They hit the road to take on the Mariners and Dodgers. I actually have J-Stock for the whole West Coast road trip. So get ready your coffee for the next six games. Tom and I will have our coffee ready. I will talk to you tomorrow night.